This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, again with a beautiful headband equipped and very, really a beautiful braids on her head, Amanda! It started out so well and then it went all down from there.
It really was derailed there, but that's okay, Monica. Hi.
It's fine. Hi! How are you?
I'm tired.
Yes.
How are you?
Tired. Mixed emoted. Is that a thing? Full of mixed emotions. Generally fine. So, but other than that, with what's coming, not so great.
Yeah. This June has been so much of a June that we're Juning the June news a week earlier because there's not much more June we can June.
There's not much more June we can June. Also, we might or might not have an episode coming out next week that's going to be live in that schedule already, but that's just besides the point. And also, June is the new Monday.
Yeah, June has been one hell of a year.
Yes, it has been, it has been. In case you don't, you mentioned it already, today's Geek Girl in the News time, because we always have one in the month, and this month it's early. I mean, it's not really for the people on our podcast. It's just early for the people on our Twitch channel. But I think they can handle. And who knows what else would come next week. So let's just not.
Yeah. We already have a full rota to talk about. And there's so little still another time, like, so much week content. And a half in June. So.
Yeah. So other than that, what has been going on with you? Tell us something good that we can start this episode off with.
Something good that we can start this episode off with is that the new Diablo season starts next week.
Yay.
And that's exciting.
I heard myself say yay and it didn't sound very exciting. I'm sorry.
It didn't sound very exciting at all. Across. You were kind of like, yay.
Yeah. When I heard it, I was like, wow, that was wrong.
Pretty.
I'm excited for you. I'm just not excited myself, I guess.
This is my first time running a season, so, like, let's just see what happens.
Why are there seasons?
Why not?
I have no answer to that question. That's great that I don't have children, because they would keep asking me that and I would have to come up with shit and then I would already fail after the first try.
True.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, that's happening over here. I've started reading, like, 100 books in the last week because I can't find one that I'm really into at nighttime right now. So that's happening, too. But, yeah,
that's good news
happening.
In books. I asked for good news.
That was good news because I started reading The Testaments last night by Margaret Atwood, the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one I finally settled on because I read, like, 100 pages last night and it was really good.
Nice. Okay. Then at least it was good. That's great.
Yeah. The other ones I think are too heavy for nighttime. Not that that's not too heavy, but, like, I'd rather a fiction heavy than a non-fiction heavy while I'm trying to fall asleep.
Understand. Yeah. Understand.
So tell me what's new with you.
There is not really anything new with me.
Okay. Well, tell me something good.
Well, I'm watching The Last of Us stream and we're pretty far along. I'm missing out now, but I will deal, I hope. I will have to rewatch it back and it's pretty epic. Like, the representation in that game is just unbelievable. All the characters, all the things, it's great. It's really amazing. And it's so beautiful. That's good news.
That is good news. I have dipped in and out of the stream, but because I don't know the first story and I missed, like, most of the second story. I haven't really been paying attention.
Yeah.
But, like, I have kind of dipped in and out just to see what's going on.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. A lot and not a lot at the same time. It's interesting. It's a nice, interesting pacing. Good news. What is good? What are the good news?
I don't Tom know what other says about have. The Last of Us 2. It's one of the most accessible games for blind gamers ever.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of accessibility settings also in the game. It's unbelievable. Like, what you can turn on and off and all that stuff is just incredible. So they are really, they make it possible for every, for maybe not everyone, but for a lot of people to play. There are a lot of settings where you can adjust how good or bad you are in something or the other, but also a lot of accessibility things, which is just amazing. Oh, yeah. It's really good. You've done a great job there.
Maybe something I'll need to play at some point.
Yeah.
I will, like, totally out myself here, though, because I absolutely 100% was confusing The Last of Us with Life is Strange, which is another, like, PS4 game. And Life is Strange is, like, a point-and-click game. And I totally thought that that's what The Last of Us was. And then when I, like, looked on the stream and I was like,
wait a minute.
Second.
I don't think. What did you say what the game was?
Life is Strange.
I have to Google that now.
Yeah.
Okay, no idea.
Because that's absolutely the game that I thought there was, like, even to the point that I was on Two Nerds, maybe more, not a few months ago, and they were talking about the Last of Us, and I was like, oh yeah, I really want to play that. Like, in my head, picturing Life is Strange.
Nice. Well done, you woman. Well done, you.
Yep.
It took you to the release date to figure out that it's not the game you expected it to be.
Yep. But yep.
Nice. Confirm. One.
Yeah.
Nice mm-hmm. one. Amazing. So should we hit this off then? We tried with the good stuff. We more or less failed with that. But should we go ahead and do June?
Let's just get in this June.
Let's just get in this June. Let's June.
Okay. So as we know, and we have talked about already briefly in parts and pieces and old episodes, and anyways, J.K. Rowling is
not our favorite person in the world anymore, and she wasn't for a very long time though, but now she just kind of put the nail in the coffin for that.
Yeah. Thanks, Monica. I was like,
how do you say that without being all fuck off?
Yeah. Because I actually said that on Twitch. I said it on Twitter. I was just like, oh, fuck off. Like, I just couldn't anymore with...
Didn't you then change it to a longer message?
I've done twice. I don't know. I tweeted a few times about it. But yeah, I actually just, like, quote tweeted J.K. Rowling and was like, oh, fuck off. Because, like, I can't. But we got to keep it constructive. And I will reference and say that our episode with the Gaily Prophet helps to put things in perspective and helps us try to reclaim Hogwarts again. But I don't know about you, Monica. I am having a real tough time reclaiming it right now.
I do have a real tough time. But I'm also trying to not let her, even though she made it, I don't want her to win, kind of. So I'm like, I don't want to give you my money anymore. I already gave you all I had, basically. I spent all the money on my books. I went to see all the things, and that damage is done. But I can, from now on, moving forward, decide not to do that anymore. And that still means that at least the story... And I had a chat with some friends just previous, and it's like, I really, really love the story. And I just read it a few years ago, and it just gives me the best feelings. And it was never because of her. It was because of the books and because how she kind of still managed to make that a really great thing. And you also maybe have to see that in the time frame that she was writing it in. That's a nice thing that Anna actually brought to my attention, that was already 20 years ago. So times 20 years ago was different as well. So, we see it in the time, and it was really dear to me, and I don't want... Yeah, that doesn't mean that that I'm not standing with trans people, because I decide to at least let this big part of my life still be an important part in my life, and I can still read the books. I won't give her any money anymore, and I will not watch the next movie when it's coming out, which I'm like, but that is the way how I'm doing it now. And I still have her tattooed on my arm. I will get the Deathly Hallows tattoo on Thursday. So, like, that's still happening. And I'm like, yeah. I've met the best of friends through that. Anna's in the chat right now. So I'm like, that would kind of make something that was so important to me. That would also be a lie that it's not the case, because it was. And yeah, I don't want her. I don't want to give her more power and take that away from me.
Hell yeah. I absolutely know what you mean. And I fully agree with everything that you've said. I just know that for me right now, I don't think I could read the books at this exact minute and still and be like, it's okay. Hogwarts is my home, despite the way that despite who has written it. I think I need to have that space right now in order to like process and figure out how I can return to Hogwarts.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like you, I've made some of the best friends from like the Harry Potter community. It pretty much changed my life.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't have to write to do it. And I think if the Gaily Prophet can make it their own, then I'm like,
yeah, so can we.
Because it's not always the case that I have to drop and cancel everything in my life just because it suddenly turns out that it's not the way I thought it was. And there will always be opinions will constantly differ, right? There are those people who are like, you don't support me as a trans person because you're wearing something from, or you still love Harry Potter. And the others are like, it's mine now and I'm owning it and I'm making it mine. And it's something, it's my universe and fuck off, JK, basically. And I think there are both sides of this coin and you can't be on both of them. Like, at least you can't be the one who's like, I'm with these trans, like, I'm here and I'm here, but for me the decision is I want this to still be important to me, and it is still important to me, and people are still important to me. I will probably see the story when I read it again from a different viewpoint when I next read it. That's why, like you, I wouldn't want to read it right now anyway. I might want to dive into all the episodes of the Gaily Prophet to get my dose if I really want to, but
yeah, do a read along with them. That could be fun. Yeah.
So I think
going forward though, Harry Potter aside, she's got more books coming out.
I'm not buying any of her books.
As herself and as Robert Galbraith. And the article actually that we're bringing up, because this isn't even what we're supposed to be talking about here in Geek Girl in the News for June.
That was something. That was also in June, wasn't it?
So it's been in June.
Yeah.
So her new book, The Ichabog, is going ahead with her publisher, Hatchet. However, staff are taking a stand and they're saying, you know, we're not actually going to work on that book.
Or we don't want to work on that book. And what I find really great from Hatchet is that they don't make them.
Yeah. They say, we will never make our employees work on a book whose content they find upsetting for personal reasons, but we draw a distinction between that and refusing to work on a book because they disagree with an author's view outside their writing, which runs contrary to our belief. So
I feel you seem a bit upset that they're publishing it in general.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying like we need to cancel JK Rowling because cancel culture, as we know, doesn't work. Like, it's not the best way forward. But I'm proud that staff there are saying, like, you know, we don't want to support this author and that this is even coming out right now.
To be fair, for a company in general, I think you often hear so many horrible things that people need to do things they don't want to do. And whatever the company culture demands of you, you've got to do that. And for the publisher to say, we don't make our employees work on that book, even though they've probably already spent a lot of time on that. And that's obviously, there is a lot of money involved. And that's always basically the thing that drives the decision, right? So how much does it cost? So in that particular regard, I think it's really amazing that they say, yeah, you don't have to if you don't want to, which I think is a really good move on their end. Just to because they could have said no. That's almost short before release, I guess. In November 2020. Yeah, never mind. But I mean, probably still in the booking release timeline. It's probably just 5 to 10 or something. Wow, what am I even saying? 5 to 12? Never mind. So I think it's great that they still let them off this job and give it to someone else who is willing to work with it and don't force their employees to do that, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. And I do think that we have to, because Ivana Lynch, Luna, I think she said it really nicely in her tweet when she commented on it, that not too long ago this incident in the UK where TV presenters committed suicide because of how horrible the online world was to her, basically, and all the trolls and all that shit. And she just put that up for discussion or up for awareness as well, that we can't just always just run away from uncomfortable discussions. If you're concerned and triggered as a person, clearly, if you're part of if you're a transgender woman or if you're a trans woman or a trans man, then of course you need to protect yourself first. But as someone who is friends with people who don't share the same opinion as you, it's just really important to not cancel them, or in general not make cancel culture the first thing to do, just because that would get us nowhere in our society, which we clearly see this month, I guess, as well. And we need to make things better, and we need to try and improve the way we do community and the way we do life and the way we love and the way we communicate and the way we make the world a better place or something. Never mind, went on a tangent.
You did, but I was there for it, so I was just letting you go.
Yeah.
So, that's happening.
Well done, Hatchet. Well done for the employees as well to say we're not going to do this.
Yeah, I think that's where the importance lies there.
Yeah.
So next we get to talk about one of my celeb crushes, Tina Fey. Star and creator of 30 Rock, an NBC sitcom that has 4 episodes featuring blackface.
Did you ever watch this?
I haven't seen 30 Rock because, you know, my issues with TV and life.
Yeah, life is hard.
Yeah, TV is hard to watch when you don't have TV.
Yeah, and that.
So super, like, she's pulling the 4 episodes of 30 Rock that have blackface. So, like, yay. But also, 30 Rock ran from 2006 to 2013. And they had 4 episodes that had blackface in it.
Do we know what episodes that were?
Yes. Season 3, episode 2, Believe in the Stars.
So it's 2009.
Season 5, episode 10, Christmas Attack Zone.
2011. Somebody help me with my math.
Season 5, episode 4, The Live Show. And season 6, episode 19, Live from Studio 6H. So, like, that's like 2012, right?
2011, 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. And it's so hard to say now because it's 2000, to be honest, for me, seems like yesterday. But that was already 20 freaking years ago. And we also know that a lot can happen in a short period of time. I mean, it shouldn't have never been a thing, but I mean, it was a thing for a very long time. That I'm not apologizing any of it, but I mean, it seems like it's not that long ago, but also it is in that short amount of time, a lot can happen in awareness with people.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not like blackface is all of a sudden not okay. Like, blackface has been racist for, like, well, ever. But also, and it has been racist since this show was aired, like, very first aired. Like, it's not something that society has just been like, oh, 2020, blackface is racist. It's like, no, this has been a racist practice. Like, this is racist, and it has been forever. And people have been talking about how this is racist as long as I've even been aware.
Who made 30 Rock?
30 Rock, NBC, and Tina Fey.
Well, she's the producer of it.
She's the creator, the show creator.
Interesting.
Yeah. So those 4 episodes are called for removal. They should no longer be available on any streaming service, which I think is great. And I think that that's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just disheartened to see that, like, somebody that I admire have thought that that was okay to have in their show.
I am surprised that it came came from Tina Fey, basically, because she's a very, I don't know, progressive. She's
liberal. Yeah, she's a progressive liberal woman. It as somebody who hasn't seen 30 Rock but loves her from most of her other shows and has read her autobiography, I'm just like, how can an intelligent woman who is so progressive think that that's okay to have in four episodes? Like, four episodes?
In the end, intelligence doesn't make you less racist.
True.
And I think we also probably deal with a lot of white privilege, where even though things are racist, they are not perceived as racist because they have been used for such a long time in such a degrading way. And still, it was like every random annoying joke or something, people still tell them, even though they wouldn't claim themselves, wouldn't call themselves a racist. But I think there are so many things that we as white people don't think about enough, which seem to be okay because we've done them for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is a quote here from Tina Fey in one of these articles that says, "I understand now that intent is not a free pass for white people to use these images."
Yeah.
So.
But at least they're gone now.
They're gone now.
So
let's move over into another racist
situation. When did this happen?
Yesterday was a day.
I don't even know why. Yesterday, wow. I went to bed and tomorrow I woke up. That's not what I wanted to say, but sure. Never mind. And this morning I woke up and I started to read so much crap, and then I was like, what did even happen overnight? I don't know what's going on. So we are talking about Mixer, which, for those of you who don't know, is a streaming platform just like Twitch, because I guess will be for a few weeks now, and then it won't be anymore, basically.
Yeah. So here is the Coles Notes version of what's happened as of one day after this has happened.
Yep.
So former Mixer employee Milan Lee said in a Twitlonger that the company's management made various racist comments, including references to partners as slaves.
Wow.
And I have her Twitlonger up here. And when she was hired 2 years in 2017, where she worked for Microsoft for 2 years, and in 2018 she joined Mixer because I think it was a fairly new program then. She was super excited to be joining the gaming community, and she was the only Black employee there.
Black woman. Yeah.
She was told that the only reason she was hired is because she was street smart. So obviously she was hired for some kind of diversity goal. Just on a tangent, like, have you noticed that when, like, Black people get hired into big companies, they 9 out of 10 times are in a diversity role? Like, no, this is our chief diversity officer. It's like, Black people can do other things. They don't need to talk about diversity all the time. Sorry.
Can they? Anyway. No, apparently not.
Yeah.
Well, I hope people heard the irony now. Yeah. Out of context, that comment I just made can really fall on my own head, but I should get a sign or something, or a sounder.
So they were discussing projects at a meeting, and her manager gave them an analogy, and I'll read it word for word. She said, "I'm in between a rock and a hard place. What I mean is all the partners are my slaves. I own their content. I control their success on our platform. For me, I am the slave master. I own partners." So these are the partners that, like, the gamers that are on Mixer, these are the people that are actually making the platform a viable place to exist. Like, we're filming here today on Twitch. We're Twitch affiliates. We're nowhere near partner level. But, like,
yet.
It's people here, like us, but at a higher tier. And, like, if somebody turned around and said, "Hi, you're my slave," I'd be like, fuck off. And, like, it's not okay to call anybody a slave. Let's just be specific here. Sex slaves, a-okay.
I didn't know where that one turned, but sure, it did.
No, I just need to specify, like, BDSM communities, like, there is a little bit of slave slave plague happening there, and like,
I mean, consensual slave. Even that's though, okay. Can we? Maybe it's called different. I guess I'm not too versed on that.
We're just gonna go back over here. Anyways, calling somebody a slave, like in this kind of context, like that's not okay. And Google showed this manager that it's not okay. But what did the manager say to Millie? She said that Millie needs to work on herself. And if she wants to go far in the industry, she needs to work on her emotions and feelings to similar comments.
Wow.
Wow.
I always like how the number one go-to tell a woman is get your emotions in check.
Of course.
Maybe don't be a prick, asshole.
Yeah, well, I think her boss was female.
Manager.
She says that the manager, she refers to her as a she, so, and her. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then Millie reported the experience to her.
That is even manager. Worse.
Yeah, it's even worse, right? To the next level up manager, including the examples in the meetings, and it was all passed on. The ideas were exactly the same as her white colleagues. The manager ahead of her never reported any of the slavery comments to HR. So when she spoke to HR, they were surprised and said, like, what? Don't know what you're talking about. So she quit her job a few weeks after that and spoke to the legal team to start an investigation with the manager who called everyone slaves. Late last year, she got a call from the legal team with their final findings that the manager was not guilty. And the reason the manager was not penalized and the reason she is still at her job today is because she cannot be racist. The reason she cannot be racist is because she hired a black person.
Oh, wow. My black friend.
No, I'm not racist. I have a black friend.
What the fuck?
What the
because
fuck?
Because I had one black person and how many people?
Yeah. So Millie shared her experience on Twitter because Twitter was busy yesterday. Let's say that. And her experience was responded to by Mixer themselves. They responded at 8:26 a.m. on June 22nd. And they said, our goal is to build a positive, welcoming, and inclusive team and community. To those sharing your stories, it's unacceptable that we did not provide that for you. We'll be vigilant in addressing this more diligently in the future. Thank you, Milan, and to the entire community.
I didn't even
know. So, yeah. So that's like something.
I'm going to tweet you back right there. I'm going to use 240 letters to say sorry but thanks or something, which I could have done previously.
Sorry in there.
Yeah. We will be.
Thank you. It was a thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
So people started commenting yesterday saying that, Mixer, this isn't on. We're not going to stream on your platform. And what did Mixer do? Mixer's like, oh, we're going to close the platform and go to Facebook Gaming. See ya, bye. And like all the Mixer partners are like, where was my notice? Hello, I brought my whole audience over here from insert streaming platform, probably Twitch, to come and hang out on Mixer and build your platform. And you're doing what now? We're just gone? The fuck?
So ridiculous, it's not even funny anymore. I mean, apparently they did inform like bigger streamers, but I'm like, as if Ninja would ever have an issue to go to another platform at all or any other of the big guns. They are not the ones who are suffering now. It's everybody else who's worked really hard to get something going, and now they don't anymore.
Yeah. So Frasley says here in chat, he said that Jen Eric Live said on their stream that this felt like a breakup over text, that their partners found out. Because I read a lot of Twitter yesterday. And partners were saying that, like, they found out when Mixer published their post that the platform was going. And, like, yes, that is really shitty. And I know that there was a lot of Twitch partners and people streaming on Twitch who were like, buy Mixer, sucks to be you, and like insert derogatory comments here. But like the people streaming on Mixer, like that was their jobs, like that was their livelihood, that was their income. Like, and this is just really fucking shitty. Like, this is a shitty situation.
Yeah. And especially because imagine that shit happening. Like, if you ever had a look at Facebook Gaming, it's just utter bullshit. It's and dire. What other thing do we need on freaking Facebook? Definitely not the streaming platform. So not everything can be swallowed up by the big Zuckerberg. So
yeah, and I totally agree. And like, I am definitely not a big fan of Mixer, because I was kind of like, it seems like a strange platform, and like, oh, you just gave Ninja like how much money to go over there? Like, okay, but sure, whatever. There is a platform over there.
I mean, it's Microsoft. That was my main reason why I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Nothing but good ever came out of that.
Yeah. Like,
especially with these side things. It never really worked after Windows. In reality, that's their main money horse. That's what I call it. That's the main thing they make money with. And then everything else is just fucking weird.
True.
So.
Yeah. And. Yeah, so I just think it's a really shitty outcome to a really shitty situation.
Yeah.
And
I'm really sorry for you Mixer streamers.
I'm sorry to the Mixer streamers. I'm sorry to Milan who had this happen, because that whole story is bullshit. Not like bullshit unbelievable, but bullshit I'm just angry that this is happening. And
to be fair, I don't think that this is, unfortunately, I don't think that's a rare thing that's happening, to be fair.
No. No, it's not. Because then you've got the alternative. And hi, we're here on Twitch. We're live on Twitch. We're hanging out in chat on Twitch. And did you know that the Twitch CEO actually has been accused of laughing at reports of abuse from Twitch partners? Because that's another reason why I was on Twitter for a very long time yesterday. Because the Twitch Me Too community is sure coming out right now, because men.
I mean, we already had like one or two weeks ago, we already noticed in the other community that we're part of that apparently there are hate streams going on, like hate raids to people of the LGBTQIA+ community. Sorry if I mixed the letters off. And basically they are partnered on Twitch already, and they gather all their followers that they're on their stream, and they basically hate raid LGBTQIA+ channels and go there to mob and diss and troll the shit out of them. And that is just something where I'm like, what the actual fuck is that? And why do they not immediately get banned from everything? Anna just said that's how raids started. That is really sad and upsetting.
It is really sad and upsetting. And there's been a lot of stories from women coming out as well about how they have had some sexual abuse, sexual misconduct from Twitch partners. And there's been a lot of sharing on Twitch. And the Twitch CEO, whose name is Emmett Shear, just laughed at the reports of abuse. So somebody from the music community by the name of Starling said that Shear was in an all-hands meeting about partners using their platforms to abuse women, and Starling used her case as an example, and Shear chuckled and said, wow, the things that go on our platform, can't really comment, and moved on. He didn't follow up. He didn't address it. This is Twitch culture. Sweep the ugly stuff under the rug for profit. She further went on and said that she dated a Twitch partner who emotionally and psychologically abused her for over a year. And when she got out and cut him off, this Twitch partner outed her old porn to his platform and called for Twitch to ban her for it. She did.
I probably made sounds like a pig, sorry.
She did nothing wrong there. And she was the one getting called for bans.
That's victim shaming 101 right there.
Yeah. And that's just one of the stories that I read, because there's a lot of them. And it's these Twitch partners that have relationships with women, with other Twitch partners, with Twitch affiliates, with other streamers, who, when the relationship goes sour, they use their platform to incite hatred and violence. And like this person, that partner did, like share sexual images, like, shit like that's not okay. And if the Twitch CEO is like, haha, Twitch, you know, like, it's really shitty.
I think I don't understand how there are no ramifications for people who just do that, because on the other hand, their terms of services seem to be so tight and don't show boob here and don't show nipple here. And if you breastfeed, you're out. But then shit like this, that goes like that. There is anything goes. And I don't understand. I mean, the I don't even know if I should tell this now or not, but the very first boyfriend that I had. And that took a weird turn at the very end, because then after that was already broken up and all, I suddenly found a lot of messages that we wrote back and forth to each other on the website, where he basically then mentioned what an idiot I am. I mean, there were no pictures of me there. That was great. But I guess I was really short of that. But what a broken ego can do to a person. I'm like, if that's already happening, I can see how the other stuff is happening really quickly and easily, and how there is nothing to do against it is just, especially if they get support from Twitch and so much money, they can't even, like, money can't be the deciding factor. Just because they bring in money to the platform doesn't mean that anything goes, or it shouldn't mean that anything goes.
Yeah. Now, Twitch did release a statement yesterday, June 22nd at 4 a.m., where they said, "We take accusations of sexual harassment and misconduct extremely seriously. We are actively looking into the accounts concerning streamers affiliated with Twitch and will work with law enforcement where applicable. We're thankful for the bravery shown by those who have come forward to speak about their experiences, and we are committed to working to make the streaming community safer for everyone."
Hmm. I mean, better do something about it and not just talk about it.
For sure.
What are they supposed to do, like, right this second? Yes, of course. They need to figure out who's what and where and then kick him. So that's the first statement that they can make, and then the actions will show.
Exactly. Like, that better not just be lip service. But we are also calling for a Twitch blackout tomorrow. So that's Wednesday, the 24th of June. So when this episode actually comes out, the Twitch blackout will already have happened. And this is in an effort to get Twitch to take note of abuse, racism, sexual harassment, assault, and rape.
Mm-hmm.
So streamers of all sizes should withhold their streams on Wednesday, the 24th of June, for the entire 24-hour period, no matter what your time zone is.
Mm.
And I'm definitely participating. We won't be streaming, and I won't be watching any streams.
Mm.
Even if I have a favorite streamer that's live, I'm going to be like, nope, not watching you. It's sad that the platform that is Twitch, this has to happen in order for them to hopefully finally take shit like this seriously.
Yeah.
But I mean, we did Blackout Tuesday a few weeks ago for Black Lives Matter, and I mean, that had as far as I don't know, it seemed to have some kind of effect. At least it got people talking about it, right? So, you know, that's what we need to do again here.
Yeah.
And blackout Twitch, because it's a huge platform. It's a moneymaker. And
and just got to go dark. And it do take not an insignificant amount of money from the $5 euros that you pay them. So other platforms do with way less. So,
Yeah, exactly. It's a 50-50 split. And like, really, that's a huge chunk when you think about it. But we're going to end Geek Girl in the News with some good news stories.
Yeah, because we can't do the low all the episode long.
Yeah.
All night long. Sorry that happened.
All night. So, good news. The FDA, and for those that don't know what that is, I don't know what that is either. The Federation. I don't know. It's the American place that does health things.
Yeah. They approve medication and shit like that.
Yeah. The Federal Drug Administration. Brain, you worked.
Do you want to know why I know that?
Why?
What the FDA is.
Why?
Because I watch Grey's Anatomy.
There you go. It's all tied together in Monica's brain.
It's all tied together. All my knowledge about life and medicine is all based on Grey's Anatomy, and so far I've been right.
Amazing.
Never mind.
So the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, because my brain finally switched on, approved the first prescription video game.
Woo-woo!
What? So kids with ADHD can be prescribed a video game as medicine.
That is pretty epic.
And guess what? My brain was wrong. It's the Food and Drug Administration. It's not the Federal Drug Administration. Like, I'm so fucking proud of myself, but I still got it wrong. So the game is by Achille Interactive, and it's called Endeavor RX. So Endeavor Prescription. Drop that link in the chat for Frasley, who's asking for the game. So it's authorizing, or the FDA has authorized doctors to prescribe this iPhone and iPad game to kids between ages 8 and 12 with ADHD. So the game itself has underwent 7 years of clinical trials that studied over 600 children to figure out whether a game could actually make a difference.
Imagine the improvement of the game in those 7 years.
Yeah. Yep. So the company's favorite of the five studies, the answer is that 1/3 of kids treated no longer had a measurable attention deficit on at least one measure of objective attention.
Nice.
After playing the game for 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 4 days.
25 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
For 4 weeks. Like, it's a prescribed medicine. This is a game for children to reduce the severity of their ADHD.
That is pretty epic.
It is so fucking epic. I'm like, wow. So not only now is a game like this in existence for like ADHD, so what's the future of ADHD like, right? We're also going to be looking at video games as treatment for Alzheimer's.
That would be something.
This is just phenomenal, the way that video games can impact our minds. Like, we've talked before how video games can have a really positive impact on your mental health.
Yeah.
And this is just saying, like, just goes to prove that, like, not only is it good for your, like, mental health and, like, your health and well-being, like, it can actually help your long-term conditions and your, like, your disabilities. And I'm just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. There you were judging us all back in the days, and look at us now.
Look at us now, changing the world.
Changing the world.
And you know who else is changing the world?
The K-pop stans.
The K-pop stans.
I am living
for them right now.
I also only found out I had no idea what that was until like a few weeks ago, and now they're my favorite people on the planet.
Yep. I have been like kind of peripheral around the K-pop stans for a long time because my first girlfriend was a K-pop stan, like, back in 2005. Seriously? Yeah, oh my god, yeah. And I was like, I don't get it. What is this music? Like, I don't get it. And to be fair, I mean, I still don't quite 100% get the love of Japanese music, but I love the fans.
Well, that's not Japanese music. That's Korean music.
Korean it's music. Different. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, J-pop and K-pop are different.
Yeah, I think they will roast you right now if they heard that you said that.
I'm so sorry. I'm not very good with J-pop and K-pop, but I love you.
BST is something I get. That is something I get. Aren't there like 25,000 people in that band?
Yes.
And yeah, it's like the 90s here on steroids with more people and more show. That's basically what I think K-pop is.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong.
I don't know. It's amazing. And they are just making waves, like political waves. That you see is like a hate-filled hashtag come up on Twitter, and it's like White Lives Matter, and you're like, oh fuck, who's saying what now about White Lives Matter or All Lives Matter? And you click on it, and it's just like pictures of BST or BTS, like over and over again, like, my job here is done, hashtag White Lives Matter, and like just these the whole hashtags are just like totally overwhelmed with K-pop fans and stands, and I'm just like, this is great. Like, the first time I saw it, I don't even remember what the hashtag was that I looked at, and I was like, holy shit, like, what's happening? What? And then I realized, like, this is a thing that K-pop stands are doing. Like, this is their activism. So you know what they've done in cooperation with TikTok teens, because like
that's also a thing, like, apparently.
Yeah, Gen Z is like unreal. Like, they are the activists that they're the future.
Well, they clearly are.
Yes, they are, but like they really are. Like, I know we had Virginia from the Feminist Shop on a few episodes ago, and we were like, what's your favorite generation of feminists? She was like, the next ones. They are fucking awesome. And I'm like, Virginia, you're right. Like, you are right. So what did TikTok teens and K-pop stans do?
they bought the tickets for the rally and didn't go for Trump.
Yeah.
Which is the fucking best thing on the entire planet.
Just amazing. Just amazing. So they bought, the president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Couldn't you have said this with that with any more disgust in your voice? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Was having a campaign rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Box Center, which has a 19,000 seat capacity.
Not too bad. So
that's a lot of people. That's a lot of seats. Do you know how many people showed up? 6,200. You know why only 6,200 showed up? Because K-pop stans and TikTok teens bought all the fucking tickets. Like, this is just amazing.
I wonder how much a ticket was. I just think the idea is just fucking amazing.
It's like,
I don't even know how you get to the, because I would be like, I'm not gonna give him any money, but like, this is even better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not really about the money for him, is it? He gets enough money from all the places where he needs to get them, and he just makes it appear out of the blue.
Yeah.
Oh, it was for free. Thank you, Decay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it was for free, but I don't have confirmation off the top of my head, so.
Just let me go on a money tangent there.
Always do.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, though. It's just like, it blows my mind that this happened. And, like, you see, I actually saw a picture of him after the rally, and he looked like so defeated. And I was like,
well, then the best. He also talked.
My Wi-Fi network just totally disconnected, apparently.
I was not at fault here.
You were not at fault. No, Amanda
left me. I was still in the call. But because Amanda is recording, that's why you couldn't see or hear me anymore.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Don't actually know what happened. And where was I?
Okay, Vance, how defeated he looked.
Oh, he looked so defeated. Like, he was just like, I don't even know. It was like the most pathetic, defeated, saddest looking little orange man I've ever seen.
Sadness for him, and I don't have an inkling of
sadness. I'm not sad. He looks sad. I was like,
I wouldn't even know if I would. I can't even. This, that there are no emotions, no, not a human being, nothing. That's why I'm like,
Yeah. No,
can't even say this thing is sad or anything. It's just something there. The android had low battery or something.
That's for what sure. I will say that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the representative from New York, I think Queens, New York, if I'm not mistaken, she, okay, so let's start actually and say that Trump said that the majority of people who bought these tickets and made these posts deleted them after the first day because they didn't, oh no, sorry, this isn't Mr. Trump saying this. Mr. Daniel saying this. Jesus, too many people with the same name. Anyways, they organized this on Twitter and deleted their posts, which, as Anna said in chat, that it fucked with the social media analyst data, like, for Trump. So, like, people thought that so many people were going to these rallies, and then, like, actually 6,000 people came to the rally, not 19,000. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, actually, you just got rocked by teens on TikTok. In response to Mr. Parscale, I'm not sure who that is. I can find out because maybe I can find that and it doesn't matter. I assume he's somebody on the Trump campaign who had tweeted that radical protesters had interfered with attendance. Like, yeah, radical protesters, teens on TikTok, bitch. Like, and I saw another tweet, or maybe it was an Instagram post from Pink, like The Pink, who was like, The Pink. And she said, I sold that arena out in 10 minutes. And I was like, yes. She's
the absolute best person.
Oh, she's phenomenal, right?
I love her.
Yeah. And it's just great. I'm definitely here for this. And K-pop stans, TikTok teens, keep up. Despite
TikTok being a shit platform, yours people are quite great.
Yeah. Exactly.
So keep on doing what you're doing. And yes. I think that's a good note to end the Geek Girl in the News episode. Wow, brain is fried today. Brain,
yeah, that was just fried. Like you powered right down there, and then you were like, Geek Girl in the News. And yeah, that's that.
That's that.
So it's been a month, and it's only June 23rd. It's been one hell of a month, but that's what we wanted to end on, a couple good notes, because this is a lot.
June is a lot. This entire year is fucking century, man. I can't. Never mind. Yeah. So just on another side note, maybe listen to the people in your life. If they tell you stories, then believe them. Listen to them and be nice.
Yeah.
That is just... I read too many hashtag MeToo's today. So that's why I'm like... We need more solidarity with everyone, I think.
Yeah. Stand with victims, believe people when they speak out, and let's try to make this world a better fucking place, eh?
Yes.
Fuck and yeah. Also join the Geek Caring Book Club.
Oh yeah, join the Geek Caring Book Club.
Yeah. This episode comes out on July 3rd, so you still have time to join the Geek Caring Book Club. We started with White Fragility just a few days ago.
Yep. You can still make up for it. The first episode will be on the 9th of July. How the hell did it get July already?
Nobody I don't know. I don't know. So 9th of July will be live on Twitch talking about the first section of White Fragility. And you're more than welcome to join us. They won't be recorded. We might post them up on YouTube. Who knows? Maybe, but who knows? But yeah, we would love to have you in the book club.
Yes.
Link will be in this podcast show notes and on our website. And everything.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being here with this episode of Geek Girl in the News. Yes. That was June, the month of
the Monday June. Of the months.
Just it was June. It was
funeral. A funeral. It was it was what it was.
It was a funeral. And just as every good funeral has to have some good news too.
Yes. Yeah. We just make it a thing now.
We're making it a thing.
Great.
So thank you so much for hanging out. And we'll see you next week for another awesome episode of Geek Caring.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at DragonPoweredStudio.com.